We turn to John 10, verse 35. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken. I don't believe in God. One way that you might respond to that declaration would be to say, well, why don't you tell me about the God you don't believe in? Maybe I don't believe in him either. And very often the person may speak to you about an unloving, judgmental God with a bunch of arbitrary laws and a Bible full of errors, which gives you the chance then to witness. I don't believe in that God either. He doesn't exist. And to tell them more, you wouldn't condemn a judge for convicting a treasonous criminal. So why God? Yes, the true God is a God of justice who demands the conviction of criminals. But he is also a God of such love that he gave his only Son in order to bear that just punishment that you and I deserved. You know, if people were to treat you the way that people treat God when they attempt to pick and choose what parts of him they're going to believe in, they would tell you they're going to cut off your arm or your nose because they don't like it. God and his word are one inseparable unity. That's demonstrated a couple of ways in our text. First of all, notice the singular. The scripture, all the writings of the Bible, are referred to as one singular scripture. Cannot be broken. It's demonstrated in another way. Jesus quotes here what might appear to us to be a rather insignificant verse in Psalm 82, where government officials are called gods because they are representing, or supposed to, the authority of God. This verse, Jesus declares, like every verse, stands in the unbroken unity of Scripture. Contemplate that unity for a moment. Suppose you were to select 10 human authors and read what they had written on very controversial subjects: abortion, homosexuality, the reform of the medical system, God himself. What would you find? A conglomeration of dissent, right? And yet, the Bible, written over a period of 1,400 years in three different languages on three different continents, writing on hundreds of controversial topics, speaks from Genesis to Revelation in complete agreement on all of them. Because every word is the word of the Holy Spirit. A word that is calling out in love for you and me to repent of our sins and be saved. The united purpose of every word of God is that you would believe Jesus died for my sins. But Bible scholars have proved that there are errors in the Bible. That's another contradiction that you might hear. There have indeed always been people that would like to mock and discredit the Bible. 303 AD, Diocletian, the emperor of Rome, decreed that every copy of the Bible was to be destroyed. 25 years later, the next emperor, Constantine, ordered that copies of the Bible be made. The French philosopher Voltaire presumed that he had demonstrated that the Bible was cut through with so many holes that it was nothing but Swiss cheese, and therefore predicted, within 100 years, the Bible and Christianity will be extinct. 50 years later, the Geneva Bible Society had bought Voltaire's printing press and was printing stacks of Bibles on it. God turns the tables on these mockers in history that we might see the truth. 1,000 times, the death knell of the Bible has been sounded. Men have formed their funeral procession. They've inscribed the words on the tombstone and read the committal. And yet, it has never stayed in their man-made graves. God turns the tables so that people, so that you would believe. Jesus died for my sins. Yes, there are many things in the Bible that I cannot understand. That's true in a lot of areas. I can't understand the scientific method why the sun stably warms the earth without burning it. That doesn't mean it's untrue. And I cannot fathom the depth of love in which the Father would give His only Son, His innocent Son, into the agonies of hell in our place. I cannot fathom the depth of grace by which a piece of wood that Jesus made became too heavy for Him to bear. I cannot fathom the depth of love in that the person who can do everything did nothing to stop that agony on the cross. But these truths, as every truth in Scripture, without error, points us to these things that are indeed too wonderful for me, that we might behold what manner of love has been bestowed upon you, that you might believe Jesus died for my sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 16, stanzas 1 and 2.